resurrection. And he writes here, inspired by the Holy Spirit, Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael the archangel, in contemplating with the devil, or in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts. In these things they corrupt themselves. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. These are spots in your love feasts, while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments defiled by the flesh. Now, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. 2, 3, and 7, Psalter 400. Dearly beloved congregation, belonging to Christ, in the post-communion sermon you know, the focus is always on how now shall we live to God's praise and in thankful devotion to Him, having been so blessed by His mercy and His peace and love through that Savior who was numbered with the transgressions, to make full and free salvation for sinners like us. How now shall we live? Well, Jude says in verse 21a, keep yourselves in the love of God. the Holy Spirit-inspired letter of Jude, it's clear, as we read it also, is full of urgent and strong appeal to stay with the Christian faith as taught by the Savior and by the apostles and declared by the prophets before them. I already mentioned Jude was a half-brother of Jesus who never believed in Jesus till the resurrection and Pentecost. And when he saw and realized Jesus, his half-brother, was the Savior, he really wanted everyone to know that Savior and to stay with that Savior by all means. And so he writes about this in the context of many who do not continue in the faith, who are not earnest in the faith, and their sad end under the judgment of God, as he writes about it. And then Jude says, "But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." Verse 20 and 21. And in the next two verses, he speaks about reaching out to others in compassion and care for their souls while it is yet the time of grace. So in this afternoon's service, as I said, our focus is this exhortation of Jude. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Will we keep ourselves in the love of God? Especially you who sat at the Lord's table this morning, confessing Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. Can anything be more important for us, all of us here? This matter of knowing and keeping ourselves in the love of God. Our text is similar to what Jesus says to his disciples in John 15, verse 9, the night before his crucifixion, where Jesus says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide," or continue, "remain in my love." What does that mean, however? To keep yourselves in the love of God. If that's what we are called to do, and if that's what you and I will do, how does that show itself? In the context of the book of Jude, very simply, let's consider three clear marks of keeping yourselves in the love of God. As expressed in our theme and points, as given in the bulletin, keep yourselves in the love of God. How so, according to Jude? Well, by 1, ever heeding God's warnings. 2, ever treasuring the gospel way. And 3, ever showing genuine Christian love and witness to others. Let's look closer at each of these 3 points. And in each case, seek to be guided in the gospel way of true Christianity. Yes, at least if you and I will keep ourselves in the love of God. Notice from our text then, beloved, young and old, the Christian life and truly walking in it involves, for 1, respecting and ever heeding all warnings about going the wrong way. If you think about it, how much of the Bible is actually written in the way of loving warnings from God not to go in wrong ways. Jude here, we are told in verse 3, was first intending to write more about what the Christian gospel all entails. You wonder sometimes, what would he have all written? It's countless and immeasurable wonders and riches for us, that common salvation in and through Jesus Christ for all mankind, whoever has ears to hear. However, he tells us instead, he felt compelled to dwell on a lot on warnings about not leaving the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. In a great part of his short letter, even from verse 4 to 19, he then tells all those, he tells about all those who did not follow God and His Word in spirit and truth. And he gives many examples, we read it together, of those who fell away and so lived in wicked ways. Jude tells too of their sure destruction and doom under God's just judgment one day. In the verses 16 to 19, he then warns about how there will be surely in the later generations those who depart from the faith and who mock the faith and who live in arrogant sin and evil, walking according to their own ungodly lusts, describing them as sensual persons. You see that in the text? Causing divisions, not having the Spirit. The fact is, the book of Jude is in many respects, congregation, an urgent warning, a loving warning about not following God. Not following God and His Word closely, but going astray. It's a warning against that. Not staying with the one-time, all-time Word of God and the precious Gospel of Jesus Christ. How sadly relevant this Word is also in our times. So now, what do we need to learn, dear congregation, about this? Shouldn't we learn this important truth? That in fact, a great part of keeping yourselves in the love of God is taking seriously, always, the warning side of God's Word. Doesn't the unbeliever and the scoffer show himself or herself exactly in this way? They just ignore God's warnings. And they brush them off time and again. As no real concern, as someone said to me the other day, "No, not for this cowboy. Not for this cowboy. Don't come to me with God and His Word." But God's true people, they can be identified as those who not only take seriously all the warnings in Scripture, but even learn to be thankful to God. And see those warnings as such a blessing in God's Word to us and from God to us to hedge us in and to keep us, you might say, from going down the wrong track and to keep us on the right track, to keep us from folly's path in the way of true religion, to keep us from destruction. So here, a good question to ask in application. Are you a person who again and again takes seriously the warning notes of Holy Scripture? It can't be a good sign if you don't. And it is most wise if you do. That is something very obvious. Just think here with me how in everyday life we have many warnings, don't we? Given us to help us function well in life and to keep us safe. Take, for instance, warning road signs. Giving warning of a sharp curve ahead, or rocks falling, possibly falling from the cliffs above, or stop and wait because they're having explosives trying to clear something ahead. Well, if you don't take seriously such warning signs, you could be quickly in trouble and in a very bad accident. The signs are there for our good, right? And the wise person respects the warning signs. Surely warnings in life are blessings. Warnings in regards to drugs and illicit sex. Warnings about speeding. Warnings about cheating or you name it. I never forget, I was still pastor here, reading from Josh McDowell in one of his books about a group of young people late on a Friday night. It was a hot night and they were partying. And then one says, "Hey, the neighbor down the road, he's not around and he's got a pool. Why don't we go swimming?" And they all, of course, peer pressure. "Yeah, let's go swimming late at night. Yeah, well, he's got a sign on the outside, no trespassing, but don't worry about that." And so they climb the fence and they go for a swim. And just when it's dark, right, and just when the first person was about to dive off the diving board, the moon came out and another person said, "Don't!" But it was too late. There was no water in that pool. The no trespassing sign was there for a reason. Warnings, congregation, are there in many cases, very good for us. And the wise take all warnings to heart. It's the foolish who ignore warnings and who see no reason to take them seriously. Well, again, what about you in relation to warnings? Do you live paying attention to warnings? Not just now common day warnings like wearing your seatbelt or wearing a hard hat at the job site or no playing with matches, children, and being careful with your use of internet or things like that. No, but think now of warnings from God and His Word about fleeing temptation and watching who your friends are and not being unequally yoked in marriage and warnings about not wavering from the Word of truth and being on guard for false teaching and warnings about being worldly minded and not disobeying God's commandments. Warnings about not departing from the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Warnings about not just having a form of religion without knowing the power thereof. Warnings about the slippery slope of sin and of hardening your heart and your conscience. Are you and am I someone who takes and wants to take most seriously these warnings Scripture gives us all over? If we keep ourselves in the love of God, we take the warnings to heart. In this Thanksgiving post-communion service, let me ask you, do you respect, do you take seriously God's many warning words? Do you see the need for this for yourself too? And humbly submit to those warnings time and again. I think too here of the children and young people. You know, sometimes your parents, they may give you loving warnings about this and that from everyday life, but also loving warnings in regards to the truth of God and His Word and will for our lives. Do you listen to those warnings? Do you listen to those warnings with thanksgiving? Or do you despise those warnings and ignore them if you can find a way out from them? Listen here to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10 in verses 6 and 11, telling of some of the sad events of the history of Israel and the rebellion. Paul states, now these things became our example to the intent, he writes, that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And then again in the same area, in verse 11, the apostle says, now all these things happened to them, the Israelites, all the troubles they came into, as examples, and they were written for our admonition upon the ends, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. And then Paul says this, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he falls. And the point is, congregation, isn't it, warnings need to be heeded by us. If you and I would grow in grace and knowledge and prosper in God's way and in His love, you need to take His warnings to heart. Jude too, in his book, gives example after example in loving warning about going the wrong way. He mentions Cain, Balaam, Korah, and so many others. Something to be noted, by the way, is how often he is quoting the Old Testament. The Old Testament sheds light on the New Testament. And the New Testament sheds light on the Old Testament. If you and I would be balanced and growing Christians today, we need to be reading the whole Bible and learning from it daily and continually. Over and over, there's loving warning given us about not ignoring God's written Word, but treasuring it and keeping it in our minds and hearts, having it as a lamp for our feet and a light upon our path. Failure to do so brings sad results. While doing so in the spirit of prayer and dependence can so help you and me in living in true faith and devotion before the Lord. How true what one commentator also wrote, saying, quote, paying attention to the warnings of the Bible lessens the shock of much we see going on, not just in the world, but also in the church. And it helps us to believe that God is still in control. And how we always need to be paying attention to Him and His Word. Isn't that so true, congregation? Now, just before our text, main text, verse 20 and following, Jude reminds his readers, we read that in verse 18, how the apostles foretold the end times would not be easy times. How many think here we're living in end times? We are.
A whole New Testament age, the part of the end times. And we're getting closer and closer to the end of the end times. And Paul calls the end times perilous times. And we are warned, forewarned, that in the Christian life, in the last days, there's all the more reason. And I say this to myself too. To be so careful and diligent in God's ways. Will you and I take all these warnings most seriously? Can we truly and steadfastly and joyfully keep ourselves in the love of God without paying respect continually to the warning notes of Scripture? Here, let me get closer and ask each one of you, is there a warning of Scripture that you are presently, perhaps, refusing to take seriously? God knows. How many loving warnings have been proclaimed from this pulpit since it was built over the three pastors that you've had and with all their services? Oh, let no one here have the warning notes fall on deaf ears and proud hearts. How infinitely sad if in the final day any one of us should end up in the place of hell because all the warnings against that place and the call, the serious call to seek the Lord while He may be found, just were not heeded by you. Will you hear the warning note also of Jude that to despise and depart from the gospel of Jesus Christ is to be left to perish forever in your sins? The positive emphasis of Jude is writing to believers in the Christian church. He says, but you, beloved, keep yourselves in the love of God. Yes, and I'm saying one way of doing so clearly from this book is respect and pay attention to the warnings of Scripture. And never think yourself above and beyond any of the warnings of Scripture. When Jude urges in verse 3 that God's faithful people earnestly contend for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints, that means we must always be on guard for and watchful about and continually careful and diligent to know the true Christian gospel way and to beware of the many dangers from within us and around us. Not to mention our adversary, the devil, who's always going about seeking whom he may devour. To earnestly contend for the faith doesn't mean to be contentious. Matthew Henry very wisely and beautifully says, Jude says, earnestly contend for the faith. He doesn't say furiously contend for the faith. But earnestly, there's a difference. We need to be watchful and careful about the whole gospel way. All the time. Will we take this to heart? That's the point. Is this a gracious and holy resolve? Is this characteristic of you and me? May God help us that it be so. You know, I think you agree with me. Young people, you will know this is true too. You can usually tell the people who disregard warnings. I don't need warnings. You have them among your peers. Forget the warnings. And you can usually tell the people who respect the warnings. What camp are you in? Are you in the camp of those who respect the warnings of Scripture? Or of those who kind of scoff them off, shrug them off? There's no big deal. Oh, may God give each of us, younger and older, a very tender conscience in respect to the warning notes of the Bible. That surely is a healthy sign of keeping yourselves in the love of God. But then a second clear sign to mention showing that you are keeping yourselves in the love of God is ever treasuring the gospel way. Or you might say, always heartily pursuing the way of the gospel as revealed in Jesus Christ. Notice how beautifully Jude describes this in verses 20 to 21. With using three participles, building, praying, and looking, to help explain what It means positively to keep yourselves in the love of God. To keep yourself in the love of God involves, says Jude, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, meaning here, staying with God's Word and the great gospel truths thereof, and steeping yourselves in that more and more and more. Never can any one of us exhaust all God's Word as given us in the 66 books of the Bible. And isn't this a problem for us sometimes? I've experienced it more often, also in my own heart. We have the danger of thinking and acting as if we know it all, and nothing more to learn for us. Let's not be like that. For even the most learned of us know so very little of the riches and truths of God's grace and teaching in the whole of the Bible. It's plainly just wrong and arrogant beyond measure for us to think we know it all. Even how learned we might be, or how mature in the faith you might find yourself or think yourself to be, we are just babes, really, compared to the mountains of gospel truth the Lord has to teach us. To keep ourselves in God's love involves also, says Jude, praying in the Holy Spirit. Or you could say, ever asking God the Holy Spirit to lead you and to guide you and me in all our ways, in God's grace and truth and the way of godliness and love before God and our neighbor. Isn't there reason, congregation, to pray without ceasing to God, as Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5? Order my steps in your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me, Lord. Help me day by day. Is prayer to God characteristic of you and me every day? Or do some among us need admonishment and encouragement and correction in this regard? Again, God knows. When you start today, do you pray asking God to lead you in His ways? And when we have struggles in prayer, we may bring that to God too. Don't we all have struggles in prayer? Bring it to God to have, ask Him to teach you to pray in the Holy Spirit, that is in line with His Word and will every day. And Jude goes on to say that to keep ourselves in the love of God, it involves further looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And I ask you very simply, doesn't that mean living always realizing our humble dependency on God's grace and His keeping and His care from beginning to end for all blessings in life that come to us, and that they come to us always in and through Jesus Christ alone, the precious Savior of sinners of whom we heard this morning? To keep ourselves in the love of God, congregation, we must look daily to Jesus Christ and Him crucified and risen again, always to receive out of His fullness grace for grace. Do you know that? Do you show that? You can't do without Him. How else can any one of us look forward to Christ's triumphant second coming and the last judgment day, except you and I be found in Christ and abiding in His fellowship and receiving out of His fountain of mercy, peace, and love multiplied to us? God's true people who keep themselves in the love of God, they don't presume on grace, but they continue to be astonished at God's grace for such as they are. Is that you and me? Will you and I keep ourselves in the love of God as Jude here describes, and living always in humility and in awe of the gospel of Jesus Christ for sinners like us? Well, congregation, what Jude teaches us is that the way to keep yourself in the love of God, which is each our responsibility in the Christian life, is something that can only always be done in the way of humble, hearty dependency on the Lord and His Word. We don't graduate from that in this life. We keep ourselves in the love of God, you know, by asking Him always to keep us. And most wonderfully, the book of Jude also states at the end of his writing how the one true God of our salvation, He is able to keep us. Yes, He is able to keep us from stumbling and to present His people faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. How good to keep yourselves in the love of God with such a God who will keep us. When we know the comfort of this for ourselves, then that not only shows in our lives also striving to keep ourselves in God's love in the three ways Jude mentions, but notice two other things that the text brings out. Notice he mentions two details that we should highlight. Jude says we should keep ourselves in the love of God, and he says in verse 20, how we should do so by keeping ourselves in the most holy faith. And when he says that, in the most holy faith, he doesn't mean our personal faith, but he means by always staying with the object of faith, the whole Word of God, the whole way of salvation. He means what he says in Ephesians 2:20, how the church is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building is fitted together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord. And what Jude is saying here, if you and I would be true and thriving believers, we need to be loving and prizing the Word of God and the preaching and teaching of that Word time and time again. That's what Jude means when he speaks of building yourselves up on your most holy faith. It means seeking to be more and more saturated with the Word and living in conformity to that Word and its precious doctrines and precepts. And here the Reformed confessions, like we read even, Belgic Confession 24, they're such a treasure for us, for they give such a biblical and balanced and Christ-focused perspective for us in life's brief journey. We can so easily get carried away by false doctrines, but if you're in the Bible and in the confessions of the Reformation, holding to the Bible, that keeps us strong and focused and in the love of God. And enjoying that love in Jesus Christ. And this also means, doesn't it, that you love going to church. For in church, God opens His Word to us and in a way that is special, unique, every Lord's Day. The Word of God, we can say, congregation, is the initial and constant tool of the Holy Spirit leading us into the love of God and keeping us there. Are some of you maybe somewhat cold or lax in experiencing and enjoying God's mercy, peace and love? Exactly for this reason, you are not so much in the Word of late. Or maybe never have been, I don't know. How we need, congregation, don't we, to continue to admonish and encourage each other to be in and under God's Word time and again. It's so encouraging to read your bulletin about different Bible studies. And then to also hope and believe that there's Bible reading at home, not only in family worship, but in personal devotions. Will you make this a priority matter in your life? Peter writes thus in 1 Peter 2, verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And then another note that Jude really emphasizes about keeping yourselves in the love of God. Notice how the text passage, the whole chapter, but especially verses 20 to 22, emphasizes the three persons of the Trinity. The Christian gospel is all about God the Father planning salvation and giving His only begotten Son for our salvation. It's about God the Son, Jesus Christ the Savior, coming to this earth as a just for the unjust, giving His life a ransom for many. And God's saving work is it not also with God the Holy Spirit, ever working with life-renewing, refreshing power through the Word, convicting of sin and leading sinners in faith and repentance time and again and deeper before God our Savior in true love to Him. Our salvation in its beginnings and in its whole course is all the work of the Triune God, who in sovereign grace is working in perfect unity and harmony for our salvation. Is the Triune God precious to you? Is He precious to me? It's a good question. Do you and I value so very much being baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, which baptism isn't only profitable when it happens, but is meant to be profitable for our whole life long. We have this triune God for us and with us to guide us and to keep us and to guard us and to bless us in the way of love, the love of God for us, with us, in us, and from us. To keep yourselves in the love of God shows in not only holding to the doctrine of the Trinity, but so valuing and treasuring the fact that God is triune, and that we may know Him and appeal to Him as our Father in heaven and as our dear Savior and our beloved Comforter God. What a mercy to be in covenant bonds with the triune God of salvation, the God of our fathers from the beginning of time. Oh, to keep yourselves in the love of God, congregation, is to be blessed beyond compare and to be led in a pathway full of grace and love and joy, excelling. So let me ask again, are you following the instruction of Jude, the exhortation in our text to keep yourselves in the love of God? And do you and will you so encourage each other in your families and as a church family, living as Jude calls us to do? In verse 20 and 21, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Isn't this, congregation, what describes the essence of true Christianity, true heart religion in all ages and places? You know, always, without this, isn't all religion then just empty form, with no genuine substance and no vital godliness? Oh, may God therefore bless you, dear congregation of Chilliwack FRC, that you all keep yourselves, each one and all, in the love of God, ever heeding God's warnings away from that, and ever treasuring the gospel way for that, as Jude so urges us. Is this same your fervent prayer and care as well, also going into the future, not just for yourself, but for your loved ones and for all in the church family here and beyond? You know, someone said to a gospel preacher once, you're always preaching the gospel, why don't you do something more? Like, preacher, why don't you turn water into wine like Jesus did? And then the preacher, the gospel preacher, he answered and he said he could do something better than that. He told about the alcoholic who had neglected his family, but who had been brought to Christ through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the preacher said, we didn't turn water into wine, but we turned whiskey into milk for his babies. Oh, there's nothing like God's people full of the gospel and what an impact it has on others. And saying that, we come to our last mark Jude shows of true religion and what it means to keep yourselves in the love of God. And that is also ever showing genuine Christian witness with reflecting a testimony of gospel concern and care for those around us. I mean, this comes out clearly in verses 22 and 23, where Jude speaks of the believers reaching out to others with the only gospel, or the only good news. And Jude emphasizes, you see that with me, the need for genuine compassion for souls and real carefulness in reaching out to others. Some whom we come across, they need to be dealt with very tenderly and gently. But others, they need to be confronted with tough love and in urgent ways. And in all cases, Jude's saying, we need to be careful, called to be so careful not to compromise with sin ourselves, or be defiled by the contagion of evil all around us. Would you not agree, beloved? What Jude here is stressing is that when you keep yourselves in the love of God, that will also show in you and I caring for the lost and doing what we can that those who are wandering from the faith or not knowing the gospel at all, or those blinded in sinful, wrong ways, that they might yet come to true repentance before the one true God and turn from their evil ways and seek the Lord while it's still the day of grace. filled with the love of God in your heart and my heart. That shows itself, doesn't it, in having a love towards all others. Not only those in the faith, but also those outside the faith. And you can't help but think of people and where are they at before God? How can we be an influence for good? You know how the early church was filled with the love of God in Christ Jesus and with the, under the blessing of the Holy Spirit. They were zealous for the gospel and how much good they did to the society around them by God's Spirit and grace. Oh, I think you agree with me. A spiritually healthy Christian and spiritually healthy church is burdened for the lost. Doesn't this church reflect that as well? Missions and evangelism is something God's people are compelled about by the love of God. And that's what they are caring about. Indeed, should it not be one of our primary ambitions in life that more and more people come under the blessed and only gospel of Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners, whom to know is life eternal? Is not this the testimony and witness also among you here? Yes, in your prayers and your cares and your support for the many ministries locally and abroad, that the gospel may go out more and more to others who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that we all may be zealous for the gospel cause, also in our dark times, and that more and more as Christian church, together and individually, we let the gospel light shine in us and through us as God gives us opportunity. Isn't it something to pray about and to encourage one another in as time goes on and we hasten to the last day? And the more you are filled with the love of God and you are keeping yourselves in the love of God, the more you will care about these things. Isn't it a fact too that being zealous and reaching out with the gospel and seeing the fruit of that also in this case or that case, that can so much spur you on all the more in God's way of love and in joyful diligence in His service? Seeing others come to grasp the mercy, peace, and love of God freely and unceasingly received and rejoiced in for Jesus' sake alone. Oh, that causes so much praise and diligence in seeking and serving the Lord all the more. So then, on this Lord's Supper Sunday, when so privileged to feast with the Savior at His table, preached to and shown to by the sacrament, the Savior who was numbered with the transgressors to save wretches like us. Oh, let's be exhorted in this Thanksgiving communion service to keep ourselves in His love. Will you do so by taking heed to all Scripture's warnings and ever treasuring the gospel way and always showing genuine Christian witness towards others as God gives opportunity? Oh, may God so bless us in keeping ourselves in His love, by His love, always keeping us. And to Him be all the glory for now and forevermore. Amen.